Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
We will connect, families grow, lives change. We will connect, families grow, lives change.
Right now we are having a pop quiz. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, if you get it wrong, you go to hell. No, that's not in the Bible. Okay, but you're going to know this, so play along. I'm going to start a sentence, and I want you to finish it. Ready? You don't judge a book. You go to heaven. See? No, you don't go to heaven for that either. You know, but you don't judge a book by its cover. Every one of us know that, right? We all know that we're not supposed to do that. But how many of you kind of do judge a book by its cover, maybe, possibly? If you're not sure, let me just use a two-word term that if you have been on YouTube or social media is going to mean something to you, and you will know that we have judged books by its covers. And the two-word term is Walmart people. Y'all have seen that, right? What are these folks thinking? I mean, I have to wonder, is this possibly real? And then I think about times when all I needed was some milk and it was 10:30 p.m. at night and I'm in my pajamas or at least something that I'm gonna wear to bed. And I decided I can run in Walmart and just buy the toilet paper real fast. Nobody will notice. So I wanna ask you right now, have you ever been to Walmart in your pajamas or something that you have worn to bed? We're the Walmart people. We are Walmart people. And that's where it gets a little bit sticky because you hit realizations like that and you start realizing, hey, wait a minute, maybe I am a Walmart person. Maybe I shouldn't go out like that. And we get insecure really quick. Anybody in here? No, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. You're not going to raise your hand, so I'll just raise my hands for you. We get insecure. We're aware of our weaknesses. We don't feel like we're enough. We don't feel like we're competent. We don't feel like we're best. And there is an enemy and an enemy working 24/7 trying to remind us that they're faster than you. They're better than you. They're more educated than you. They're younger than you. They're older than you. They're prettier than you. They're smarter than you. You're not really enough at all, man. You're just lucky to be there. I hope nobody finds out. The enemy goes to work on that. And then we believe our own negative press. We believe the fact that, oh yeah, these cracks in this thing right here, oh yeah, see, I don't think you're usable. I mean, look at that, that is a mess. That is just an absolute, oh, look at this. This is horrible. Unusable, unpromotable, unmarriable, lonely for life, never gonna make enough money, probably gonna stay sick. Boy, this is a really fun beginning to a message. We all have these cracks in our life and we get super concerned about them and we get super worried about them. And yet in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars of clay, but we contain great treasure. That's why we don't judge a book by its cover. That's why we can't look at our outside. That's why we can't look at our past or our exterior, because all of us are broken and all of us have leaks. All of us have cracks. And there are so many jokes there that I want to do right now. Insert your own plumber joke here. There's cracks. We all have cracks, and just make sure your crack is clean. No, I'm not. I told you, I just want. My husband, he's been preaching longer than I have, and we have this saying in our house, no jokes for this area of the body, and I just did one of those jokes for this area of the body, but you know, some of us have cracks other places too, lift and clean, never mind, back to the message. But speaking of plumbers, I'm working it in, we're all worried that we leak. You know, well, I have these cracks, so if I'm not perfect, if I'm not just solid, I'm concerned that some of the stuff that I don't want anybody to see is going to leak out. I mean, somebody's going to find out that I yell at my kids at home. I mean, what if they find out that, you know, at work they start telling those racy jokes, so I throw one in because I want to fit in? Or what if they know that I talk bad about people behind their back because I don't want to be left out at the water cooler? I don't want to be the prude Christian that nobody can relate to. I mean, I know I kind of threw that person under the bus so that I could get the promotion, but they don't deserve it. They don't work as hard as me, and they're not a Christian anyway. Everybody say, oh, snap. It's getting real in here quick, isn't it? I'll tell you what, we all wish we looked like the good one. I mean, how many of you, if this matched your decor, you would probably not buy this one at Walmart with the cracks in it, but you would pay $19.99 for this at Walmart? Or if you shop at Nordstrom, it'd be $199.99. Just add a 9 and you're in. And we get all worried about the fact that we don't look shiny and we don't look new and we don't look fixed, and we're worried about how we leak and what's going to happen when people find out that we leak and what's going to happen when God finds out that we leak, because we're really not sure that we're usable or qualified anyway. Have you ever met anybody who was really truly qualified or who was really truly perfect, had no work to do? No, we're not perfect. Not any of us are perfect. And yet we're still worried about our cracks. Which reminds me of a story. There's a Chinese water maid, and she's got these two buckets that she carries on a stick. She walks from the house to the well, gets the water, and walks back to the house. Well, this story is kind of like a Disney story. In this story, the pots talk. That was funny. And so she goes down and she gets the water, and after a couple of years, the pot that doesn't have any cracks in it, this one starts to say, oh, I'm so good at what I do. I deliver every time. I deliver on time. I'm sure that I'm her favorite, and I think that British people might be a little bit stuck up, and that's why I gave the good pot a British accent, not sure. It may have been Cockney accent, not sure. The other, the broken vessel, says, you know, I don't even know why she uses me. I don't know why she keeps me around. I'm pretty scared she's going to get rid of me. So the pot says to her one day, I don't know why you keep me here. I leak. And you work so hard to get the water, but you come back and 50% of it is gone. And the Chinese maid was walking to the well, and she said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to enjoy the view of the flowers on your side of the trail on the way home. I think it'll make you feel better. So she just looks at the flowers all the way home, and the cracked pot says, well, thank you for trying to make me feel better. It was a great view, but I still feel like I'm failing you. The Chinese maid said, you know, you're missing the point of what I told you. You see, I know that you leak, so what I did is I took seeds and I sprinkled them on your side of the trail. And every time I take you up the trail, you water the flowers. And if you'd notice, every day on the way home, I pick the flowers and I put them on my kitchen table. I have fresh flowers on my kitchen table every day because you leak. That's something that the uncracked pot can never, ever give me. 2 Corinthians 4:7, again, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. We get stuck on the fragile clay jars part, and we forget that we contain great treasure. There's great treasure inside of us, but how does anybody ever see it if we don't let it leak out? You see, if you guys would go ahead and dim the lights for me, I look better in the dark. You see, We are living in a dark world, and in a dark world, you really need some light to shine out. And for light to be able to shine out, you need to be able to see the light. And here's the problem. You can't see the light coming out of this right here. But when God turns the light on, he has the ability to shine out through the cracks. We're all concerned about being the vessel, and God's not worried about us being the vessel at all. He says, no, don't worry about the vessel. Don't worry about your cracks. Your whole purpose is just to allow me to shine through you. Amen? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. That's on our inside, y'all. To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We get all worried about our brokenness. We get all worried about the problems that we have. But you know what? The more problems you have, the more potential that you have to help people. Amen. Because people don't want to listen to somebody who have never been through anything. You try and tell somebody about something, somebody tries to tell you a problem, you tell them what you would do, and they look at you and like, you know nothing. But when you've been through some stuff, when you've walked through a financial struggle, when you've had an issue in your marriage, when you fought a little bit and won, suddenly people will listen to what you have to say. You see, what doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. It actually makes you more valuable. It actually gives you a place on this earth to have a voice. And God's actually called you to have that voice. Here's the thing. You're called to ministry.
What? That means I gotta preach?
No, you don't gotta preach. But you gotta share Him. You gotta live for Him. You gotta tell people about Him. You gotta help people up. Just like somebody reached down to help you, God wants you to reach down to have somebody else. You should always have a hand up, climbing up higher, and a hand down, bringing somebody with you. And so with our hand up and our hand down, we get all worried about our brokenness. We get worried about our pain. And here's the thing. We can keep our pain, and live in pain. Or we can take our pain and put it on display for the glory of God, for someone else's gain, and what is also the beginning of the healing process. When you share your pain, somebody else will gain, and you will get healed, and God will work in your life. Your ability to help others heal is the best when you're wounded. Because we all have cracks. Look at your neighbor and say, I know you have a crack. Look at your other neighbor and say, but don't show me. I don't want to see that mess. You see, God doesn't look at what we look at. It says in 1 Samuel 16, it says, man and God, we don't see the same thing. It says that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And he was talking specifically about two kings in Israel, the first king in Israel and the second king in Israel. You see, we look around for what we judge to be the best product on the market, what we judge to be good. And how many of you, a cool person in your own assessment, your value or your idea of a cool person changed from the time you were 12 to the time you were 24 to the time you were 40, right? It changes because our values change, because we gain wisdom. And we realize that cool is a little bit more than a six-pack, yo, which is why I don't have one. And everybody in the house who doesn't have one should say, amen. We start to value things differently for face value. And God, that's not what God looks at all. So in Israel, I mean, don't feel bad about it. Samuel did it. Samuel was a prophet of God. And they're looking around for the first king of Israel. And everybody is looking at Samuel or at Saul. And in 1 Samuel 9, it talks about Saul. And it said he had a son whose name was Saul. He was a handsome young man. He was more handsome than all the men in Israel. We're talking Chris Hemsworth. We're talking Denzel. We're talking eye candy. All the girls wanted Saul to be king just so they could look at him. They're just like, woo, hoo, hoo, hoo. Oh, but the guys were on board too. Because Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody else. And when you're a king in the Bible times, you actually lead the army. You lead the charge into battle. They want somebody that they think is going to win, that's going to be the first warrior out there and the last man standing. They want somebody they can get behind. Guys are behind Saul. Girls are behind Saul. He looks like the king. But things aren't always how they look. And God's looking at the heart. You see, everybody's got cracks, and Saul had his cracks. The difference between the cracks being your end and the cracks being your beginning is what you do with what comes out of them. You see, what was coming out of Saul's cracks were pride and rebellion. God told Saul, kill all the Amalekites. They were at war with the Amalekites. He said, kill them all, kill everyone. And Saul's like, cool, I'm going to do that. Except for the king, because he's kind of smart, and the guy who leads the sheep, because he's really good at it, and the guy who makes swords. So I'm just going to keep these couple guys, because they're really good at what they do. You ever have a better idea than God? Tells you to do something like tithe. You're like, okay, well, I'll give $20 because it's better for me. God's like, no, I know better than you. You see, we've got a God who is bigger than us and knows more than we know. And He is so much more interested in giving back to us. He really needs us to trust Him because he knows so many things we don't know. You see, at the end of Saul's life, he was in a war, he was in a battle, and guess who ran through him with a sword? An Amalekite. It was an Amalekite that killed Saul. If he had killed all the Amalekites, the story could have been different. But he had a better idea, and he had to do it differently. Why? Because what was coming out of his cracks wasn't repentance, it was pride. So David wasn't a perfect guy. David gets made king. And when David is king, you would think, okay, well, you know, he might not have looked as good as Saul, so the story's going to go, he was really perfect on the inside. Perfect on the inside. There's nobody perfect on the inside. Dude was an adulterer. Adultery, what is that? He was sleeping with some chick who was married to another dude. I will kill David. I'm not talking about King David. He's lived a long time ago. I'm talking about my David. I would kill him. No. I would not kill him. I would leave him alone, and I would put him in a cave where you can't find him. And I would make him suffer for years. In public, I'd be like, oh no, he was kidnapped. I don't know where he's at. Don't give him no food. So he sleeps with some other guy's wife and then has the guy killed. You're talking jail time. So this king deserves jail time. All the other guy didn't do was kill some guys, but this one gets jail time, and we're supposed to be okay with that? God says, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. Well, how could David's heart be good? I mean, he's doing all these terrible things. Well, you see, when David gets confronted with the terrible things he's done, and I don't know what you've done. I know I've done some pretty terrible things. I know I tell you about a lot of the terrible things. I know I don't want to tell you about all the terrible things. Anybody not want to go give full disclosure right now in front of everybody? Right? He'd done terrible things. But here's the thing. When the prophet of God, when the priest came to David and told David what he'd done, David didn't say, well, yeah, but he had money, and yeah, he was the best sheep herder, and this is why I did what I did. No, David said, oh, I am so sorry. I can't believe I've done this. God, forgive me. Oh, how do I make this up? Because I would have killed the man that I was. What came out of his cracks was repentance. And I'm sorry. And how do I fix this? And I don't know what cracks that you've made in your life, or if you've cheated on your spouse, if you cheated on a test, if you cheated on your taxes, if you've killed somebody. I don't know what you've done, but if you take this posture when you've done it, what comes out of you is something that God can use, something that God loves, something that God needs. In Acts 13, it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart who will do all my will. The cracks are where God's light shines through. You know, it's really about what's inside. It's not about the vessel. We get so busy trying to fill the vessel up with what we think should be in there. Well, I need a self-help book. I mean, what I really need is I need more kindness. I need to know my personality. I just need to do all these things myself. And I need to go to anger management class. And I just need to meditate. And we try to fill ourselves up. And in 2 Kings, there's a widow. And this widow is losing her sons because she owes a debt. So God tells her, go find all the vessels that you can find. And when you find them, close the door. And once you close the door, I'm going to perform a miracle. Well, she closes the door, and God fills all the vessels with oil. You see, she'd been trying to fill the vessels and pay the debt all along, but she wasn't able to do it. We're not called to fill. We're called to be filled, to be a vessel, to be available. You don't have to do it. You just have to humble yourself before God and say, here I am, God. Send me, use me, heal me, forgive me. I just put myself here. Fill me, God. Because it's what's inside. Tell your neighbor, it's what's inside. It really is what's inside. I have a friend, and I have a friend who is a venture capitalist. And what that means is he takes money and starts companies, and then he makes profits from the companies he starts. Well, he's got a lot of money from doing this, and he invests, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but like $50 million in this company. And this company starts going wrong. And he knows the company is closing down. He gets wind of it. So he's going to go recoup as much of his money as he can. So he gets a Samsonite suitcase. How many of y'all have Samsonite, some normal, nondescript, bought it at Target, wherever, suitcase that nobody's ever going to look twice when you walk through the airport because it's a normal looking suitcase. You got one of those? 12 people have a suitcase? What? So he's got a suitcase and he puts it on a private aircraft. You see, this guy rolls Trump style. And he's got his own big old airplane, like not just like a little airplane that goes, no, he's riding Trump style, which I can now imagine a rap that goes riding Trump style. And I just want to let you know it was my idea. When you hear it on the radio and Drake takes credit, it started at Faith Church. All the old people are like, who's Drake? Does he go here? So he's riding Trump style, man. He's living large. And so he gets on there with his cheap little empty suitcase and he goes to that company. He empties out the safes. He collects everything he can and he comes back with $16 million cash in the suitcase. The suitcase was 50 bucks. The suitcase looks normal. It's not about the suitcase. It's about what's in the suitcase. What's in the suitcase suddenly makes the suitcase very valuable. And once you know that he was taking $16 million cash, you understand why he took his own plane. But how many of you know what's in the suitcase? You could buy a bunch of them planes with what's in the suitcase. So the vessel that's in the vessel that looks large still isn't even as valuable as what's in the vessel. It's not about your vessel. It's not how you improve your vessel. It's not how somebody else's vessel looks. It's about what's in the vessel. Look at your neighbor and say, what's in your crack? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. And we're still worried. We're still worried about our brokenness. We're still worried about the fact that the light shines through, but boy, it doesn't look pretty. You know, I had a friend in high school, and I was a cheerleader, and we cheered for football, we cheered for basketball, we cheered for wrestling, and he was a basketball player. And at the beginning of the season, he rolled his ankle, and his ankle broke. And he was really upset about, oh, my season, and I hope he's not watching, but he was a good player, but he wasn't all that great, just saying. I mean, he'd never dunked. He'd never done a lot of things that some of the other players on our team could do. Our team was pretty good. So he's hobbling around on crutches, and he's hopping from here to there, class to class, and just doing what he can do. And before the end of the season, his cast comes off. Oh, he's at the first practice, man. Oh, he's ready. Been too long since I played, man. Been too long since I played. And he goes for that layup, right? Like my form? He goes up. He dunks the ball for the very first time right after the cast comes off. What are you talking about? I mean, this leg should be weaker. This leg should be emaciated. You see, it's called the principle of supercompensation. Any of you guys who work out, it's the more you tear a muscle down, the more the muscle is built back up. That's why you work out hard. That's why you push. That's why you increase your reps. That's why you increase your weight. Tear that muscle down so that it can be built up stronger. So what happened is he was hopping around on the leg that he lifts off with is while this leg was broken, the body was naturally compensating for strength in another area. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about yet. You see, you think you're small over here and you're worried about this limp that you got. And God said, don't worry about the limp over here because while you're limping over here, I'm building you over here. And you're getting stronger over here and you don't even know it. So same school, I'm cheerleading. And while we're cheerleading, we are training for DCA Nationals, 1989, man, woo! And while we're doing it, my shin starts hurting really bad. I'm like, man, my shin hurts so bad. We finally go to the doctor, get it x-rayed, and I have a stress fracture. I broke my leg just by pounding on it one too many times. You guys want me to do a cheerleading jump now, right? Woo! Not limber like that anymore. But I have a stress fracture and I'm out of practice for a while. So as I'm going through the healing process, my team is upset with me. I am upset with me because I'm broken. I have a broken bone. Oh, broken bone. Got a joke. So there's this guy who goes to the doctor, right? And he's like, dude, I have this weirdest thing going on in my body. Doc, you got to put your ear to my thigh. The doctor puts his ear to his thigh, and his thigh says, give me $20, man. I just need 20 bucks. Please, give me $20. Doctor's like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. I've never seen or heard of anything. Guy said, no. Put your ear on my knee. He puts his ear on his knee. He says, $10, man. If you lend me $10 just till Friday, I will pay you back. This is insane. He gets out his medical textbooks, gets out his journal, starts looking everything up and can't find anything about it. Guy says, one more thing. Go to my ankle. He goes down to his ankle and he's like, $5, man. If you got $5, I know you got $5. Can't you spare $5? Doctor comes up. He says, I've never heard of such a thing. The medical journals don't say anything about it. I've never seen such a thing. I can't be positive what's happening. And the guy says, well, what do I do? And the doctor says, well, I have a theory. He says, what's your theory? He says, your leg is broke in three places. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, so I have a stress fracture, right? So my leg is broken. That's how we got there. So my leg is broken and it's healing. So I go back to the doctor to see if I can cheer again. And I'm concerned that since I'm going to go right back to those same moves that I was doing before, I'm going to re-break my leg. The doctor says, no, let me explain to you the process that what happens. There are things called osteoclasts and osteoblasts, and they're happening in your body all the time. Osteoclasts are constantly tearing your bones down. While you're sitting there right now, your body's tearing your bones down. And then there's these osteoblasts, and they're constantly putting your bones back together. Well, what happens, and that whole process is called remodeling. I'm like, ooh, remodeling, I'm in. And he said, so what happens when you break a bone is the body knows it's broken, so it osteoblasts harder than it ever does. So while your body is being remodeled, that area is stronger than anywhere else on your leg. Your leg might break again, but it's not going to break right here because where you were broken, you are now stronger than you've ever been before, and you're not going to break there again. So God might be working on us in an area of pride like Saul so we can be broken there, in an area of anger, an area that we don't like. But he said, God's like, okay, you're headed off that way. God doesn't hurt us. I just want to put this out there. God does not hurt us. God does not harm us to teach us things. What happens is God tells us not to go, and we go anyway. And now we're out of his reach. And sin has separated us. We have put up a wall of sin that God cannot get through until we repent. So what happens is we walk over here, God allows us to go ahead and get broken and make wrong decisions and hurt until we finally repent. And when we repent and we come back, he says, don't worry about those places you were broken. Don't worry about that marriage that didn't work out. Don't worry about that problem that you had. Don't worry about that pornography thing that you got going on. I'm here to tell you, says the Lord, I'm making you stronger in that place than you have ever been in your life. Wherever you were broken, I can fill you up. God is better than Gorilla Glue. Things you never thought you would hear in church. God is better than Gorilla Glue. And so we just don't need to be so worried about the vessel looking such a way. And we certainly don't need to be worried about trying to fill the vessel up. You see, it's God's job to fill the vessel. It's simply our job to be the vessel, to be being filled, to trust him as our Lord and King, to have our back, to fill our cracks, to see our insufficiencies and love us anyway, to fill our insufficiencies in such a way that we can then share them and bring other people up in that very same area. And so as I close today, I actually have a poem that I want to read to you. And I don't like to read to people very often, but this I think is so touching. I think you're really going to love it. It says, the master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. Oh, I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value and I do things just right. My beauty and luster, they outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master gold, it would be best. The master passed on with no word at all. He looked at a silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear master, and I'll pour out your wine. I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and my silver, it will always compliment you. Unheeding, the master, he passed on to the brass. It was wide mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Here, here, cried the vessel, I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, called the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy in your house to abide. The master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved it solidly stood. You can use me, dear master, the bull said, but I'd rather be used for fruit. Don't use me for bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken and helpless it lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole and to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it, I'll use it, and I'll make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow and sits on a shelf, nor the one who is big mouth and shallow and loud, nor one who displays its contents so proud, not the one who thinks that he can do things just all right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with my power and my might. Then he gently lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day, spoke to it kindly, there's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I've poured into you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've got some cracks and you're afraid you've been leaking some bad stuff, you've been trying to cover your cracks yourself, you haven't been sure what your vessel has been filled with or it was filled with something good, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, with almost every hand in the building raised, oh God, it shows humility of heart. God, look at the humility of your servants. And God, you say humility is something you can use. So God, right now I pray, God, don't make us afraid of our cracks. Let us know those are places that you're letting your light shine. And that whatever has been broken in our life, you can make it strong, stronger than it's ever been before. And none of those cracks have taken you by surprise, but God, you're gonna use everything in our life for your glory. God, better than we ever anticipated or thought it could be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Is that all right for today?
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will connect families, grow lives, and change. We will connect families, grow lives.